Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one-coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Well, good Friday, everybody. John and Del Olale in studio with us this morning as Lance Lazy takes today and Monday off.
You just found out about Monday.
Well, I did. I did. Tyler informed me. Yeah, Monday too. What's that? Was Del going to come? I said, I didn't know he wasn't going to be here. And I texted him and he said, yeah, I'm going to take that too.
Oh.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
Okay.
All right.
Are they still testing on Monday? That's why he needs to be there?
No, I think he's doing, I think he's traveling. I think he set up his flight for Monday morning, which is convenient.
It's odd. I mean, considering
it's not really.
Odd. I think he did it on purpose. I imagine Sunday could have been an opportunity to travel, you know, when it didn't conflict with a work day.
Well, he has to work all day Sunday, I believe. And then I think they scheduled his flight, and he was like,
can you make it on Monday?
Yeah, so I don't can you make to, it Monday
not
morning?
Sunday, not the Sunday so afternoon, Sunday night.
Work? Yeah. So
sorry.
Yes. Are you standing with, have you put out your yellow and blue, I stand with you, Ukraine tweets yet? Because everybody just.
You know, no, I haven't.
Chance is standing with a crane here with his yellow and blue.
That says I stand with Ukraine, a U-Y-O-U, comma, crane.
Ukraine.
I don't know. See, he's in a spot where it doesn't matter. He lives in some area of the country where no one would venture to because they're afraid they would come out alive. So he can do stuff like that, like. For the performative people on Twitter.
I didn't even get it until you said that.
Yeah, it's Y-O-U. And
I thought it was just a crane.
No, come on, John. That man's trying really hard to make a joke.
That's
you didn't
way too hard. He's working way too hard.
He's standing next to a crane. He has Y-O-U. That man tried. You still didn't get it? Look, he's in a spot where he can do stuff like that. I don't even know what Chance does. I just know he's can do whatever he wants.
All I know is he's wearing a Texas A&M sweatshirt and back in the day, he was not a big fan. Oh, but then his daughter goes there, and now, I'm a big Aggie now.
Well, yeah, and if Lance's son winds
Two-faced Chance.
If Lance winds up at Lance's kid winds up at Alabama, guess who Nicole will be rooting for?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Not Nicole. He will. Not Nicole.
Of course.
Nicole. Lance is really rooting for Alabama because Alabama's giving scholarship money.
Yeah, that's what he's looking for.
That's right.
Nicole, that's the lesser of two evils, right? Because A&M is on the list of choices too for that for their kid, right?
Yeah.
She better hope he goes to Alabama.
Oh yeah, right. She's got
or you'll be wearing an A&M shirt. She wouldn't wear one.
But. How hard did Chance work? He had to go find a crane.
I don't know. He had already been standing next to a crane for some reason.
Maybe.
And then he just took the opportunity. You should ask him. How did that come about?
Okay. You worked way too hard for this, Chance.
I appreciate that you didn't even get it.
For this opportunity, Chance. Anyway, so we're getting started here this morning on the show. And the big story yesterday was, is there anything more inaccurate than the unofficial time of a 40-yard dash?
No, not if you're Chris Olave and Tyquan Thornton.
So the big story yesterday was, oh, my God, Tyquan Thornton, the Baylor wide receiver, he just broke the all-time 4.22. He ran a 4.21 unofficial time. It's a 4.28.
I really wish it was real because I heard the conversation between you and Lance. There's no way anyone's going to run. It's like, oh, look at Lance being wrong
again. And then 4.3. Well, first of all, he did beat the 4.30, which was the under over. And Lance said, no, nobody's going to run 4.3.
Yeah.
Under 4.3. And so he did beat that. Apparently, I don't know why. Are these guys faster than Lance had thought they were going to be? By the way, Chris Olave, at first he was 4.26, and then now it's 4.39.
I don't know how. I know it's unofficial, but that's a giant difference. It's not a. I mean, it's a giant difference for timing, but for us looking at a guy run, it's not that big of a difference. But how does a clock get that so wrong? I know one is unofficial, one is official, but that's way off.
Yeah.
For a clock.
Yeah, I don't know. But what's more inaccurate, that or Skip Bayless's Twitter account?
Well, Skip is purposely lying.
He does.
I don't know. Yeah, he's doing that on purpose. The clock wasn't trying to be as bad, or the timers weren't trying to be as bad as they were.
Yeah, but I've never seen this. Usually it's unofficial. That's the time. Yeah, this is really.
Yeah, or maybe it's a 0.04 difference. Okay, it goes from a 4.33 to a 4.37, but not you take it from the low twos to the high twos and then the twos to the high threes. Well, whatever. Chris Olave is still a legit receiver, still very fast. But not freakish. Let's put him in the top five fast, I guess, in terms of the overall draft prospect. So we'll see. I don't know what it means. What does it change? Would it have changed Chris Olave's potential draft status if he was really a 4.28 guy? I mean, we see what he does on tape. He's still the same size.
Yeah.
He's clearly still fast. Clearly fast enough to run away from guys in the league and in college.
Yeah, and we've seen, I don't know. Listen, it does catch your attention when you're running under 4.2. First of all, you got to have great start, great form, and all of that stuff. You've really practiced it. And that says something about you, too, is that you're working hard as your trade, right?
Sure.
And getting off early, not lifting up, and all those things that are going to get you, that are going to make you run slower than you would. And, oh, by the way, you really care about this thing. So I think that's saying something about, I didn't know anything. Taquan Thornton was on a good football team. I didn't know anything about Taquan Thornton before he ran this. But you know what? It's certainly going to help Taquan Thornton.
He's a kid from South Florida who wound up at Baylor. So being a guy who follows Miami recruiting, I knew a little bit about him. I talked to Lance about him last week, and he said he's a little smaller than what his listed weight is. At least the one at Baylor had him at 183. Lance thought he'd be smaller. I don't know what he measured in at the combine, I'm sure. I'm sure if the weight was up and he still ran that fast, it's going to help his cause. But he was a good player at Baylor, but you know he didn't reach the top of the list of the best wide receivers in the country. So running that fast, and if he's really I'll find out what he's listed at with the combine. But 6'3", 183 is the Baylor size, and if he's running that fast at that height and that weight, that's a dude who becomes one of those fast risers. We'll see what he does at his pro day and stuff like that.
Yeah, right. Can he catch the football? That'll be something next that they'll have to look at. We know that he's fast, and we'll see. Well, and then you look at his tape. Lance talked about this. He didn't see this coming. He didn't see anybody running under 4.3. Whether or not he plays that fast is another story.
Yeah, and what's his route tree? Is he limited? Is he just a speed guy, or is he a guy that has the potential to be one of those a guy who was underrated coming into the draft process and turns out to be a guy that everyone loves. According to the combine, he was 6'2", 181. So you might think he bulked up to be that size because, like I said, Lance didn't think he was that big. But then if he runs that way at that weight and he can play at that weight, that becomes a guy who went from a little skinny guy to, you know, a guy that teams will look at and go, that's good enough weight when we talk about how fast he is.
Yeah. And then the other big story was Kenny Pickett's hands, which is...
Tiny hands?
He's got all the...
all the means.
Now, I feel bad for the dude. I mean...
Well, look, Kenny Pickett avoided it before,
but
you know...
But the implications about the small hands thing...
I know what it means. I mean...
If I'm him, I'm going to just go, you know what? Look, everybody.
But here. He didn't want... Look, he lied about it. Was it at the Senior Bowl, the hand thing? He didn't want to talk about, oh, I got it. I got opposable thumbs. That's why my hands are so small. Eventually, Kenny, we're going to find out how big or small your hands are.
Yeah.
And apparently he dropped the football quite a bit at Pitt. Not all fumbles lost, but fumbles were high.
30 fumbles, I guess, and he lost 12 or something.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
Yeah. The ball is on the ground, and then it becomes a matter of luck and seeing he's going to jump on it. So that's going to be concerning to people. I just hope people give him little Barbie hands. I don't want to do the whole
Saturday Night Live thing.
Yeah, stuff like that. And little hands touching other people's faces.
Yeah.
Hey, man, he was a productive guy senior year. I watched him for 4 years or 5 years because he had 5 years. What did he not throw more than 13 touchdown passes until this year, and then he explodes with the tiny hands?
Well, yeah, but listen, he went from just a guy to possibly the number. He went, He took it, well, I don't know if he took it further than Joe Burrow. No, Joe Burrow took it further than anybody in 1 year. But he really, that's a Joe Burrow-esque rise, what Kenny Pickett did.
You're going to allow that sacrilegious statement? You're going to allow people to compare him to your Lord and Savior?
Well, he's not my Lord and Savior,
first
of all.
Are you sure he's not your Lord and Savior?
No, he's not my Lord and Savior, first of all. He is the greatest football player ever. And all of the, I know, all of the memes are just awful. Poor Kenny Pickett today. It's just,
didn't Joe Burrow
on ESPN? I guess, is this 9 inches across? What is this? This paper, are all papers 9 inches across?
There are jokes to be made. I'm glad you're talking about paper when you asked that question.
Yeah. I think legal size is like 8.5.
Eight and a half, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah. So he's got to be 8.5. That's how wide his hand is. Oh, well, it's even less than 8.
Didn't
and a half.
Joe Burrow catch some of it last year too? Like, they were questioned about his hand size.
And he said, oh, well, I'm just going to go home, I guess.
My hands are too small.
My hands are
sorry.
Too small.
I mean, you can ignore what I did in college, but because my hands are too small. And obviously, Joe Burrow's turned out to be just fine. The knee might be paper mache because of that offensive line, but the hands are just fine.
Speaking of which, and we talked about this before, and as a matter of fact, we've been like, hey, Cincinnati, would you right now, give up Tunsil for number 31 overall?
Why wouldn't they? I can't find... Look, the thing about Laremy Tunsil is there are some stuff off the field that Lance has talked about that I'm like, the whole, I got to make a deal with this guy to practice.
Yeah.
But you want to protect, you know, your franchise quarterback's legs. So I would make the deal, but it would be a little concerning that I have to make deals with my offensive linemen to get him to
31,
practice.
31, by all accounts, there's going to be 5 or 6 or even 7 offensive tackles off the board.
So
by
you got to make a move, and if you're not going to do it in a free agency, you can go get a guy who's under contract. It's a big contract, but it's a guy you don't have to negotiate with until he wants to renegotiate because you just traded for him. I would make the move. But
you have to negotiate that deal extension before, right?
You have to. You can't be the Texans.
Right. And I don't know if you tell them, hey, listen, we're not Bill O'Brien. We're not giving you $22 million a year. Mm-hmm. Just so you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and oh, by the way, you had a thumb injury that took you out for 12 weeks last year.
Why were you out so long? He would say, did you look at that team? I didn't want to come back for that team.
What was it? For who?
For what? Davis Mills? You want me to
block for Davis Mills?
Yeah, and all those other running backs no one's ever heard of?
I ain't doing all that.
You guys are in the Super Bowl.
The Texans re-signed Jimmy Morrissey, a 7th-rounder who was cut.
Jimmy Morrissey. Who was that?
He was a center that took over for Justin Britt.
Was he good?
Was he drafted by Washington in the 7th round? Whatever. He didn't even make it through camp, and the Texans picked him up, and he was their starter. And now they've re-signed him again. So Tunsil's like, really? You want me to come back to this?
Well, he played at Pitt, so does that mean they're going to draft Kenny Pickett?
No, it does not mean that. That's the other question. Would Davis Mills have been the number one quarterback in this draft had he stayed in college?
No, because he would have never thrown 42 touchdown passes in the season like Kenny Pickett did.
Yeah, but... I don't think that matters. Nobody's thrown 42 touchdowns in a season. I don't think there's a chance Kenny Pickett's not the number one quarterback in this draft.
I know, but I think Davis Mills not playing football a lot at Stanford would have hurt his cause. I mean, maybe if he started
year. No, he would have started this year.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess he would if he couldn't do it a lot before. Injuries and getting beat up by Costello and others.
Right, true that. But I think he would have started, had he had a good season, there's a chance Davis Mills, the Texans might have gotten over on everybody.
Oh, no.
How smart this organization is.
I made a joke about, you were going off about other things in politics, and me and Raheel turned it into a ratings debate about football. We made a comparison about football, and then we got into Davis Mills and how you're all in on Nick Caserio now because of Davis Mills, right? You love him for picking up Davis Mills.
I will say this. He was right. As of right now, he was correct and the rest of us were wrong. He is actually...
What was the thought?
He is actually serviceable as a third-round draft pick. Not only serviceable, but he's got a chance to be a starter in the league.
He has got a chance to be not a disaster, which is what a lot of people, including myself, thought. Actually, I didn't really have thoughts about Davis Mills. I just know he didn't play a lot. But the thought was, what are you doing?
Did he not exceeded exceed your expectations?
Being that I didn't have any for him, yes.
Well, yes, obviously.
Yes.
But did he not actually, did he not at times look actually impressive?
He played like a quarterback that has a chance.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And which is more than enough. Any of us gave us. It gave him.
And certainly, that's better than what we thought. Yes. And it means he should get a chance to play, unless bringing back Jimmy Morrissey means you draft Kenny Pickett.
I am the premier quarterback evaluator of this station, seeing as how I'm the only one that knew Joe Burrow was going to be great.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because you're the only one who played quarterback.
And that too.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know the position. And I'm the only one that saw anything in Joe Burrow. You two were laughing every time I said, and I told you he'd be in New York for the Heisman.
One of the banes of my existence is that came true. Now we have to deal with you talking about Joe Burrow for the rest of my life.
Since I am the quarterback whisperer, although I'm the quarterback shouter.
You don't whisper. You just say, that guy's good and you're stupid for not believing
that's
me.
That's damn right. And watch Davis Mills now.
Oh, what are we saying? What does watch mean?
Watch means Davis Mills will be a better than serviceable starter.
How
in the NFL.
Will the Texans try to replace him in 2 years? Within 2 years, do you think that happens? Will they try? Will they draft the guy to replace him, or does he hold all challengers off? He'll be that good.
He will hold. Within 3 years?
Within two. Let's 2024.
He'll start this year and next.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That means they have a legitimate quarterback because that's, 40 starts plus? Yeah.
I saw things. I don't know about you, but I saw things that I really, really liked.
I would have had to watch Texas football.
Well, that's a difference. 715 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, we got to see if you can. I don't know. We'll have to see. Russell Westbrook had some interest. He had an interesting exchange last night as the Lakers continue to suck at an all-time level. We'll try to get that sound for you right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But in the meantime, let's talk about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf and getting more money. What I'm talking about for you here is get as much as you possibly can for that vehicle. And John Clay Wolf says, I'm going to give you more. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVin.com and put it in. What's your car? All right, give me the particulars. I'll give you, and listen, an offer will come back within seconds for you. And then you go, oh, yay or nay. And listen, and then they'll ask, what kind of shape is it in? And all of these things. But John Clay Wolf bought over $1 billion worth of cars last year because he offers more than everybody else. It's what he does. It's what he's been doing. It's what he built this business on. And then he goes to auction with your vehicle, and he gets pennies on the dollar. He's not as greedy as the other guys, not making as much. But guess what? You're getting more for your vehicle because you go to GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 720 on ESPN 97.5, and it's pretty much a holiday show. We really got nothing. So it's Friday. It's time for you to actually get in on the show and participate. David participated. He said, Dell's here. The show is immediately better. He also, David, sent us a video of a girl who has a face drawn on her nostril.
Okay.
Did you see that? And it sings. And the camera zooms in on her nose, her nostril. And then there's a song playing, and the nostril is actually singing the song.
Uh-huh.
It's actually pretty good. But David wanted us to start our morning with that.
I think he wanted you to start your morning with that because I don't.
You didn't
see
get it, but he didn't know you were here today.
Oh,
he didn't know. He sent it to Lance too. He thought Lance was actually working, but instead
he should have known better.
Lazy. Lance is lazy as well, and he's not here today or on Monday. So we got Dell in studio with us here. If you want to get in, 3780-3776 is the number to hang out with us. The Lakers lost again last night. The Lakers suck. Russell Westbrook is just a disaster. Now, they got swept by the Clippers this year.
Yes. Ty Lue, since he took over that job, is now 7-0 against Lakers. And I think that's somewhat relevant. I think they're bringing it up because at one point people thought he would get that job. They gave the Frank Vogel. They won a title. But ever since the bubble title, Lakers have been a disaster. And it's not getting any better. And frankly, I'm thrilled by it because I'm a fan of the team that lost to that team, and the Heat were called the bubble frauds, but the Lakers have been much worse than the Heat since that moment. And their team...
Well, at least the Heat are at first.
Yeah, and they beat the Nets last night in KD's return. That's a team that has no outs because you're trading LeBron, you're trading Anthony Davis, and you can't get rid of Russell Westbrook. Meanwhile, two teams have, but he...
Which is next to impossible, unless you're going to take a huge loss.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to take on John. You were able to get rid of Russell, but you took on a guy that you won't even play for $91 million.
Who allegedly is healthy, but you just won't play.
You just won't play him.
Yeah.
That's how you got fleeced on that. That's what that Russell Westbrook trade worked out for you.
Remember that smidgen of hope you had when you thought they could move John Wall? And you're like, maybe. John Wall's not going anywhere.
No.
Because the Rockets don't want to take a loss. But how do you get rid of him without taking a loss? And what team is bringing him in? Like, what's the exchange rate for John Wall? You have to take on multiple bad contracts and give up a couple firsts to get rid of him?
Yeah.
So.
Is that awful?
Why would the Rockets would just sit with him until that contract expires, I guess.
So the Lakers lost again. And here's the question posed. It's not really a legitimate question. We'll break it down. But here is Russell Westbrook with an exchange with one of the reporters after the game last night.
What did I envision?
Oh, you got it. Okay, hold on one second. The guy asked him, I thought the question was in there. The guy asked him, he said, with what you envisioned this season, are you disappointed in the way things are working out? When you came here with what you envisioned, are you disappointed with the way things have worked out? And this is Russell Westbrook.
What did I envision?
I suppose I would imagine some wins.
I mean, you said based on what I envisioned, I want to know what you think I envisioned.
I would, but you envisioned coming here and winning a championship, or at least being in
the season over.
It certainly isn't on.
Is the season over?
No, sir.
Thank you. So, what did you envision? Since you spoke for me, I want to know what you thought I envisioned.
And I've been at every press conference you've had this year, and you've talked about, especially at the beginning, you talked about what this could look like. Obviously, you envisioned a successful season. It, to your point, sure, could still happen, but where you guys are trending right now, it hasn't.
You still asked my question. What did I envision? You said you envisioned this to be a certain way. I want to know what you...
Did you envision it to look like this?
I had no expectations. See? That's why you don't know.
Baloney.
You don't know what I envisioned. I had no expectations. Okay, so I come into every situation.
That's crap. That's baloney. I mean, you go to a team with Anthony Davis and you go to a team with LeBron James. I think he worded it poorly. I think
because it allows Russ to play that game.
Right, to play the game of what did I envision? You're speaking for me. Maybe the question was, what were your expectations coming into this? And if they were championship or a really good team, are you disappointed with the way you're playing right now? That would have backed Russ into a corner a little bit more. Plus, he was right. He said, I've been in every one of your press conferences, and you thought it was going to be better than this. You did think it was going to be better than this. So, man, you want to talk about an unmitigated disaster. Russell Westbrook, who's from there, having a Hall of Fame career up until just been brutally horrific the last couple of years, yet is still going to be a Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah, there's nothing changing that. I mean, the end of his career, and what is he, in his early 30s? So there's still time to go, but will become a...
What team is going to give Russell Westbrook an opportunity to go?
Not a big deal, but, I mean, Derrick Rose kept getting opportunities, and that worked out well for a couple seasons.
Well,
with the Knicks.
But Derrick Rose was different. He was sidelined by injuries, not by suck.
True. But Isaiah Thomas has found his way back into the league.
True, but you think Russell will play for league minimum?
This is what I'm saying. No one's giving him a big deal, but I don't know if teams or players love Russ like they love Carmelo Anthony, because Carmelo Anthony is beloved, so he keeps getting opportunities. But Russell Westbrook will have to accept becoming a backup guard who gets 15 to 20 minutes a game at some point. And if he doesn't do that, then sure, his career could be over more quickly than we think.
Yeah, he'll be a change of pace guy, but I think this is destroying. This is really destroying Russ in that if you can't, if it's this horrific with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, and you know, you, your opinion of who you are, Russ, versus what you are, is it's night and day.
Yeah, sometimes self-realization is hard, and being able to assess yourself is hard. And he, I always think, when I think of Russell Westbrook, I kind of think of what Jason Kidd became later in his career. Jason Kidd was an up-and-down guard who could not shoot the basketball, but, you know, had great success, made a couple finals with the Nets, and then at the end of his career became a standstill jump shooter who was actually pretty efficient. And that's how he survived with, you know, all the intangibles, leadership, toughness, all those things that keep you around as a veteran. Well, Russell Westbrook, at a certain point, think to himself, how do I still become added value to a team who has aspirations to win? Does he ever realize
don't shoot,
or find a way to become a somewhat non-disaster of a shooter? And that takes time in the gym in the offseason. Will he ever decide that that's something he'll become?
Do you know that he doesn't put it in? He just might be a piss-poor shooter.
Jason Kidd was a piss-poor shooter, and at some point he wasn't. So,
well, but Russ is going the opposite way.
I know.
Russ was a good shooter, and now he just sucks.
So,
I don't want to say good shooter. He's the worst three-point shooter in NBA history.
Do we believe that he can't become competent if he didn't decide that's what I want to be?
Yes. Maybe he just doesn't have the skill set anymore. At some point, you lose it.
Sure, but at 32, however old he is, you lose that? You can't find that?
You know, his type of game, though, he's probably older in basketball years.
He's 33 years old. He'll be 34.
He's been living off his athleticism.
At some point, you have to decide, look, Russ is still an athletic player. He can get up and down the floor. He's not what he was. That's just how age works. But you're telling me he can't decide, you know what? How do I become a better player to help a veteran team win? I'm going to become a guy who can knock down a standstill three jumper. He can't. That's something outside of a skill set. If it is, then just wrap it up, because he can't do what he's doing on a team that has any chance of winning.
No. I mean, this is proving it. This is a team that 19 months ago was a championship team. And now with Russ, the Russ iteration is awful. It is awful.
And
I hate to see it.
No, you don't.
I hate to see LeBron struggle.
No, you don't.
The Lakers struggle. Russ struggle. I just hate it for me.
And to just, I was going through his introductory press conference to see if he said anything about what he wanted the season to be. And one of the quotes was, as the season prolongs, we'll figure it out. There will be ups and downs. There will be downs, and that's normal. That's okay. But we'll figure out how to play the best way that we want to play to be able to win a championship. So right there, he thought to himself, at some point, they were a championship type of team. Yeah. So he was obviously avoiding that question and lying pretty much about what he believed this season could become.
He absolutely is. 7:30 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Your thoughts. That's our Lakers.
You want to talk about
Because
the Lakers?
I wanted to talk. I just like to see Russ fail, if you want to know the truth. Because he was here,
But he wasn't a problem here.
And I'm glad he's not here anymore.
He wasn't a problem here.
Well, he getting along with the best teammate in the league.
Yeah, I did see that earlier.
James Harden.
I'm gonna. What did James say? Like, he was gonna go down as one of the best teammates ever.
Ever.
Yeah. Whew. Aren't you supposed to ask your teammates about that? You don't ask the guy about that.
No, all his teammates tell him that.
Well, you would say that too.
All the team's teammates and strippers.
You would say you're the best teammate ever too.
You
and James the same guy.
Everybody wants to
work
here with
me. You got a beard too, just like James.
Everybody wants to work here with me. It's 7:31 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's time to talk about HRP. That's right. Great teammate. Okay. Even Mr. Gao has said it. Oh, it's not Granado. That's right. He says it in those commercials. We had to call HR on somebody and it's not Granado. That's right. Never, ever. Well, not here. Not at this job anyway. But here's the deal. is if you're looking for a great HR company, if you're looking for a great company that is going to take care of your payroll, it's going to take care of your all your taxes, it's going to take care of your Affordable Care Act, has helped us with all our PPP and our small business loans, unemployment claim, all of the things that went along with that. And here's the deal as well. It's just payroll and HR. It's not insurance. It's not benefits. That's not 401k. That's they give you options, but they're not going to force theirs on you so that they can make more money. That's what the other companies do, and HR and P doesn't, because they're HR and P. HR and payroll. And so if you're looking for that company, all you got to do is go to 281-469-8240. 281-469. No, that's not it. That is not.
Why are you looking at me?
That's not it. It's HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
By the way, I gave you the phone number to McGrath Pest Control. Don't call them about HR and P. 281-880-6525. It's been a while since I've done an HR and P. 281-880-6525. Is HR and P. Don't call McGrath Pest Control looking for HR and payroll, okay? Let's just not do that. 713-780-3776, the number. 713-780-3776, according to Not Lance Zierlein, we are Team Dark Meat, you and I.
I don't validate that. That's your thing. I've never called myself that. We're not team anything. You're not a great teammate.
Yeah. Oh, KJ says the best, B-E-S-T, capital letters, teammate there is.
Seems
thank you, KJ.
Like an overstatement of what you actually are.
There's a picture of me with my flat brim hat on and just
I always teammate. Say this about you.
Teammate.
your team most likely to be suspended for conduct detrimental. That's what you are. If you were an SEC player, like back when Mark Rick was, speaking of SEC players, I guess we can get into A&M stuff, but back when Mark Rick was coaching Georgia, they would always have a cupcake to open the season. So you would suspend all his players for other offseason issues. You would definitely be on that list every year. Oh, John.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
Backup quarterback John Granato suspended for game one against Samford. I said Samford, not Stanford.
Samford.
Why? Conduct detrimental.
Yeah. In an entire offseason? Oh, I definitely would have picked up a conduct detrimental.
Yeah.
Yeah. No question. A&M is having its issues. Demond Demas, the wide receiver who is pretty good, he's having a rough time of it. He had to turn himself in. Then he's got Tony Busby as his lawyer. So
wow.
Tony's
representing a college player.
Well, it's an A&M. Tony's an A&M guy, big A&M guy.
Yeah.
Might have got the call. Hey, Tony, we need a little help over here, a little something. We learned that there was a warrant out for the arrest of Demond Demas yesterday. Upon learning of such, Demond insisted upon turning himself in, which he did quickly. And blah, blah, blah. Solid young man. Generational talent. Blah, blah, blah.
Generational talent.
Apparently, he was in a boudoir with a female, and he banged her head, allegedly banged her head off of the wall when she bit him.
Then she bit him.
Then she bit him. And then he threw her, and she, ooh.
Interesting dichotomy of clients.
He threw her off the bed, onto the floor, which caused her top front teeth to go through her bottom lip.
Interesting. So, in one instance, Tony Busby is defending multiple women in alleged sexual assaults against them by Deshaun Watson. On another hand, he is the representative for a player accused of violence.
Why are you pocket watching Tony Busby?
I'm just saying, defender of women in one instance, defender of athlete in the other. I mean,
well, it all depends on the. So now, this isn't the first time. Apparently, a female's mother tried to reach out to Texas A&M coaching staff with concerns that Demas had struck her daughter. After an investigation by Texas A&M police. The family ultimately declined to press charges. No arrest was made.
Now, everything comes with the caveat of if this all allegedly happened, I'm not sure how we Tony Busby's statement. We look forward to demonstrating that this is all an unfortunate misunderstanding plays into. He pushed her head into a wall. Then she bit him on the shoulder. Then she reports the defendant then grabbed her and threw her from off the bed onto the floor, which caused her top front teeth to go through her bottom lip. How is that a misunderstanding?
They had a misunderstanding. I don't know.
Over what that resulted in this?
Over whether or not to watch the final episodes of 1883. I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know how that, even if that's true, for whatever reason, they're really big into the Taylor Sheridan universe of, what's the name of that show?
Yellowstone,
that this came about. Look, I'm a big of TV fan as anyone. I don't think it would have led to this.
Taylor Sheridan also did the mayor of Kingstown.
He is making a lot of TV shows.
Yes. Taylor Sheridan's busy. He's a lot busier than I am.
What'd you say?
He was also in Sons of Anarchy for a while, too. He was, I think he was in the first couple of seasons.
Oh, he's an actor, too.
No, he is a screenwriter. Oh, he has acted, yes.
He has acted, yeah.
Yeah, screenwriter. He does it all.
Man, I'd like to have his future as opposed to mine.
What is your future?
Well, mine is just playing golf and poker. Yeah,
you want to work for your money?
No.
What are you talking about? You have to be creative and work.
No, you're probably right about
that. You like your future just fine.
Yeah, my future's great. He seems like he's working way too hard. Yeah. Seems like he puts his whole day into, you know, making shows and stuff.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
I ain't about that life.
You do that for 3.5 hours, and then you go about your day.
I was here. I get here now earlier, if you want to know the truth.
Why?
Because to get ready for the show, that's why.
This show?
Yes, this show.
It seems like you could spend your time doing other things.
Well, a couple of things here. First, we had that story. Did you see, though, Malik Willis having an act of kindness outside of the combine?
What did he do?
Well, he was apparently there was a homeless guy, and Malik Willis was over there, and he was helping the guy out. Look, he's doing stuff. He gives him something out of his it looks like his luggage or suitcase or something. Malik Willis is doing something for somebody who's homeless out there, which was a nice act of kindness, which might get him first round money. We'll see.
Well, I hope now that this will go viral, no one checks his Twitter account to scroll back through and go, what did Malik Willis say in 2013?
Well, isn't Malik Willis already famous that they should have scoured his?
Nice. He coaches at plus. He plays at Liberty.
Plus,
count.
What could he possibly say? He's a black guy. He can drop N bombs all over the place if he wants.
He can drop the wrong F bomb, and that'd be a problem.
Ooh, that's true.
There's always something you can look. No one's uncancelable.
That doesn't get you canceled nearly as much as there are certain letters that get you canceled more than other letters.
Well, if you're white,
as you go off the up the alphabet into the LMNOPs.
Once you get past L, depending on who you are,
yeah,
there are problems for you.
F, you're gonna get a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true. Look. I know people who don't know me that well. I've said it before. Sometimes you got to take the L. And if you get past the L and drop it in,
right,
it's an L you might not come back from.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, Malik Willis will probably be fine. But, you know, you can always scroll and see if you want to cancel him. I'm glad he did that. Maybe be more accurate when they're throwing the football. That would help you out.
That would help you. That would help a little bit more. Although people are saying there that they are impressed with his football knowledge.
Why are you so impressed? Why you got?
What were your Davis Mills expectations there?
Was he surprisingly great on the board? Why are they so impressed?
He was.
I love the wording. Wow, we were really impressed with this knowledge on the board. Why?
Why
was he? Was it surprising or was it up to standard? I'm trying to figure that out.
It was surprising.
I always remember. Kirk Herbstreit was calling the national title game back in 2013. He was talking about deep forward, at the time, the Auburn defensive end. He was like surprisingly eloquent. I was like,
What?
What does that mean? He said it in the game.
Oh, he's surprisingly eloquent. When you brought up take the L, I remember. Remember when I told Dr. Martin Luther King to take the L?
Ooh, because they pulled down a statue or something?
Pulled down his sayings in a room. In Oregon? In Oregon, Oregon. The student hall.
And I said, I think he already took the biggest L.
He took the L. I said, hey, Doc's got to take the L here.
I was like, Well, John, you're on that limb by yourself.
All right, 713-780-3776 is the number. Reports are out. There's no urgency for Deshaun. No urgency for Deshaun. We'll talk about that on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple of knuckleheads, if you ask me.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here. If you're not following Michael Schwab, he's a big Astros guy who's not busy at all right now. He's photoshopping Jose Altuve into iconic photos until the lockout is over. That Academy Award one with Ellen DeGeneres.
Okay.
And all the selfie. And he put him in there. He put him in, not Muhammad Ali, but Cassius Clay standing over Sonny Liston, that famous one. And Jose Altuve's in the background cheering. Way to go. Michael Schwab's not busy right now. Nobody's busy in baseball. How upset are you about this whole situation?
Upset is an interesting choice of words. I'm not upset. I hope for the people who like baseball and care that this gets done, because I know a lot of people are really upset about not being sure when their games are going to be on. And frankly, I really care, if I'm going to say I care, about the businesses, the people who are directly affected by and plan their years around the baseball season. I care about that. I don't care that much about the games.
How crappy is this for Raul?
It sucks for everybody.
Well, so he couldn't start until after the World Series because of issues with license. And now his first year there, he's right across from the ballpark, and he, you know what? It's going to be awesome. The team's coming back, and people are going to come back. And now they're in a lockout.
Yeah, he is one of many people who will suffer from that. So I care in that aspect. So I don't want to be like Cavalier and go, screw baseball. It's great. It's not coming back. But personally, as far as the games, I'm not going to miss them.
No, you don't care. But this is our only good team. What the bleep in the bleep? Come on. Get on the field. Let's go. So apparently, now we've seen the Dolphins said the door's shut. We're out. Which, you happy about that?
I don't want to deal with Deshaun. Well,
you don't want to deal with Deshaun. Let me ask you a question. You're a big Dolphins fan.
I am.
Would they be better off giving up 3 first-rounders over the next few years, maybe a player, I don't know, and having Deshaun Watson, or staying pat with Tua right now?
They would probably be better, but I don't know if it makes them a title contender. That team, despite winning, the Dolphins are perfect. They're perfect. They win 19 games over 2 seasons and don't make the playoffs in either year. You know how hard that is to win 19 games over 2? Usually it's like you win 7 one year and then you jump up to 12, or you win 12 one year and drop to 7. They found a way to split it so evenly that they didn't make the playoffs in either year. So that's just being a Dolphin fan. They would be better, but are they tight? When you make that trade, you want to win a title. And I've seen Deshaun win 4 games with the team. So I know he can play really well and the team not win enough. Sure. But I don't want that guy on my team.
It is rare. I mean, quite frankly, Green Bay is amazing to me. When I was there for training camp with the Texans 3 years ago, was it? I think it's 3 years ago now. I thought Green Bay was going to be terrible. They didn't have any talent. It looked like it was like, you know, they had Devontae Adams, but they were just an average team. When Aaron Rodgers plays like that, he ain't losing. It's rare when a quarterback plays his ass off the way that Deshaun played his ass off, and you win 4 games.
Now, you can dive into the numbers and say their defense was so bad that he was always throwing the football, and the numbers just skyrocket because he's always got to throw, come back in the fourth quarter. But the Texans always felt like they were one drive away from getting in the game. Like, Deshaun would lead a fourth-quarter drive, the defense wouldn't get a stop.
That happened plenty of times.
Or they're up by 2, or they're down by 2 scores late, and he takes them down the field, and you know what? 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes ago, 1 first down ends it, and the defense doesn't get a stop. That's kind of how it felt like. So you never really felt like they were in the game because you've always felt that stop was never going to come. So that's where some of those numbers come from. So,
or you felt like, come on, one time defense, pick him up.
And they could never do it. So it wasn't Deshaun's fault that they only won 4 games, but he had some slow starts. So I looked at that team and go, sure, Deshaun's a really good player, But he was also the author of a 4-win team. So do I believe he could put the Dolphins over the top? I'm not sure. Because they have holes, and I would like them to fill those, and then we'll see what the quarterback situation is afterwards.
Well, apparently it's slow. It's slow on the Western front here for Deshaun Watson. That said, he gets through this criminal investigation, and it's going to pick up, and it's going to pick up in a hurry.
And the Deshaun trade really marks I don't know what you want to call a rebirth, but a restart of the Texans. When that trade happens and you get the picks and you know, and that uncertainty is out the window, then you can start to talk about what they are in the future. Right now, it's like, well, if we get 3 first-round picks or we get a couple players with that, maybe we'll know. But until that happens, they're kind of still like, well, the Astros of years ago when they were going through their 100-loss season.
Oh, no, they're still that anyway.
Yeah, true, but the Astros had a plan. The plan was to be bad and use those drugs. But the Texans, their plan hasn't really begun yet until that trade happens.
Well, right. No, this is the Astros 2011 when, okay, now we're getting the picks. Now we're going to start to, you know, listen, guys get to the NFL right away. They don't get to the majors right away. But I think they have a plan. Their plan is let's get as big a haul as we possibly can for Deshaun Watson. We suck, so let's make good draft picks. Let's fill it in with some. And I was pretty critical of Caserio for his middling free agent market pickups that he had last year. Why not go get young guys that are going to actually be here as opposed to guys who are going to be here for 1 year? But he's got somewhat of an eye for talent. I mean, the Cameron Grugiers and the Lewises and the Hewitts and they were actually Kirksey's. They were actually decent. Malik Collins. They were actually decent players. Tavier Thomas has turned out okay. He went out and got King. He went out. I mean, they weren't as horrific. Were they as bad as you thought they were going to be last year?
I saw Grugier Hill play because in Miami the previous year he was a part-time backup player, and that's kind of who they got. King and Kirksey aside, those guys had started quite a bit in their past. They weren't as bad as I thought, but they were legitimately veterans who had played and you can count on to not be terrible. But they weren't guys who could elevate your roster. We saw that in the way the season played out.
It's not like he made long-term commitments to him either.
Understood. Those were players who on a good team would be, that's a core special teamer, that's a guy who can fill in for a couple games if one of your starters gets injured. Unfortunately considering that was the plan, they were guys to be counted on throughout a 17-game schedule, and you kind of saw the results. I'm not saying he picked awful players. It's just players who weren't going to be part of a future for the Texans, and I guess that's fine for a year.
Yeah. I mean, I would rather see undrafted free agents come in here and see if they can't play, and you're going to lose anyway. I mean, you don't want it to be, though, that it's such a downbeaten, the locker room is so beaten down that it's like, oh, we know we can't win and whatnot. You had to have some veterans in here that can actually, you know, say, hey, guys, this is how you go about it. This is how you go about your workday. You have to have some examples. And those guys might have been pretty good at it. I don't know.
But who are they
because
teaching?
The culture... They do emphasize culture, so I'm sure that was part of the process of picking these guys as well.
But who were those guys teaching as far as your core young players? Understood, you want guys who do it the right way, so...
Well, the Greenards needed that, you know. Hey, listen, you know, Brevin Jordan, Nico Collins, you know, Roy Lopez. These guys were actually pretty good picks, actually, as well. I got to give him some credit. He didn't even have a first or second rounder, but he had third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounders that were actually on the field.
I'll be interested to see, because I kind of went through this with the Dolphins for about a year. Actually, they accelerated their timeline because they played great in the second half of their tank year. And now apparently now they're getting sued because of it, because allegedly they offered their coach $100,000 to lose. But I want to, like, Nick Needham is a guy who Brian Flores liked and they signed off the street pretty much. And now he is their legitimate starting slot corner. And that was a couple years after that bad year, and he's still a player for them, a guy who they can count on. Is a Roy Lopez that? Is a Brevin Jordan 2 years from now when you want to be good? Are those guys who are either starters or guys who can play a lot of snaps for you? That'll be the determination. Them playing well in a awful tank year is fine, but 2 years from now, when you want to be better, are they still guys you can count on to give snaps to? And that'll determine what this, what that draft class was, what this free undrafted free agent class was. But and if they turn out to be those guys, then all credit to Nick Caserio. I just find it a little difficult to say right now when they're going to get snaps because who else was? But at least they weren't awful.
No, no, they contributed and actually showed some flashes. Again, how much are we expecting out of, from a bad team with rookie guys that are third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounders? I think if you want to know the truth, I think most of them, for me, exceeded expectations.
Did you get a pizza last night, or is it coming tonight?
I think that I'm going to get one tonight. I'm pretty sure. I'm working on
it. Is it a meat
lover's? I'm working it right now.
You go crispy thin when they, or is it like a hand
crispy
toss?
Crispy thin. Mm. Yeah.
A little burnt. That's what you get at
Nick's.
That's
what I like, yeah. Yeah, that's the best. 757 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, your sport has some controversy.
Is it really controversy?
Yeah.
It's a washed player talking. Is it controversy?
Well, it's kind of a woman complaining. So
I didn't say that. You said that. That's a John Granato quote, not me.
That's all I said.
I called her wash. I thought I was insulting enough.
That's all I said. And we'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.